I want us to think this morning about pursuing faithfulness while preparing for the future. Pursuing faithfulness while preparing for the future. That's what we're doing here. That's what you are doing, preparing for the future. So much of college is focused on the future. So much of college is focused on the then and the there, wherever that may be. The decisions that you have as you're thinking about where to go to college and those kinds of things are very much wrapped into what is God's will for my life? What does God have for me? What does God have for my future? These students are pursuing a major area of study. They're thinking about the future. They're growing in an understanding of who God is creating them to be, growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This time in life, perhaps more than any other, is a time to learn more about what it is that God is doing, how God has created the world, and specifically as a follower of God, what is my place in this world? How has God uniquely created me? How has God shaped me? How has God fashioned me? And how does God desire to use me in this world that he has created as I think about the future? Two responsibilities that are before you. As you're walking through this university career, the first responsibility is to prepare for the future. But the second responsibility is to pursue faithfulness. It's not an either-or thing, it's both. Not just preparing for the future, not just being faithful in the present, but both. God, no doubt, has a great future for you. God, no doubt, has a purpose for you. You are learning, you're incorporating habits into your life. In many ways, the trajectory of your life is being set right now. You're developing relationships. You are laying the foundation for the future. But these days, these 4 years, for some of you, 5 years, 6 years, is not just a time to focus on the future. It's a time to cultivate faithfulness now. The habits that you build into your life now will go with you in the rest of your life. And sometimes the tendency when we are in a place like this is to become so focused on the future, the then and there, that we fail to cultivate the faithfulness that we should be about here and now. God's call on your life is to prepare for the future. But God's call on your life also is to pursue faithfulness in the present. To be faithful now. To follow God now. To serve him now, to be obedient now, to bear fruit now. It's not just about the future, it is about now. Pursuing faithfulness and preparing for the future are not mutually exclusive things. Preparing for the future and pursuing faithfulness are like two wings on an airplane. Which is more important? They're both necessary. And God's desire for you during this time is that you might indeed be doing both, preparing for the future and pursuing faithfulness. The current culture of our society should sober us to the realization that being faithful to God is going to be more and more challenging in the years to come. The future that you have ahead of you is going to require faithfulness. The recent Pew study that came out revealed that 20% of Americans, 20% of Americans claim no religious affiliation whatsoever. When asked to check the box of their religious affiliation, they check the box none. None. Not Protestant, not Catholic, none. No religious affiliation whatsoever. It has been happening for years and it is becoming faster. Our nation is quickly becoming less and less oriented to the things of God. Christianity once enjoyed a place of prominence, a proverbial seat at the table of our culture, if you will, but not so anymore. If there was an appreciation for Christianity in days past, that appreciation is now diminishing. And that lack of appreciation is moving toward what many might say is an intentional disregard and disrespect for Christianity. And it may very well be that we are headed toward what some would say the Bible calls persecution. It may very well be that in my lifetime, in your lifetime, in the lifetime of my children, it may very well be that Christianity in America experiences persecution. Perhaps we need to hear again what the scriptures say, where Paul says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. In Acts chapter 5, do you remember when the apostles were performing ministry? They were actually thrown in prison, and through a miracle they were released, and the Sanhedrin called them back, and they beat the apostles, and then they sent them off, and they said, don't ever preach again about Jesus. You know what they did? They said, we can't stop preaching and teaching about Jesus. We can't stop being about Christ, because that is who we are. Jesus would say in Luke chapter 9, if anyone would come after me, he must first take up his cross. He must first deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The potential challenge for us in the future, the potential challenge for Christianity is great. But with great challenges come great opportunities. There is an opportunity like there has never been to display faithfulness. The current challenges of the society in which we live are not going to cause us to shrink back from who God has called us to be. In fact, we will say with the Apostle Paul that just as we received Christ Jesus, we will continue to live in Him, rooted and built up, strengthened in the faith as we were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. What an opportunity. The darker the darkness gets, the greater an opportunity for the light to shine. The days in which we are headed are challenging, but indeed, there are great opportunities for us as Christians to model the faithfulness of God's people, to display faithfulness in our personal lives, in our families, in our relationships, literally in all things. God had promised to Abram in Genesis chapter 12 that he would bless him, that he would make him a great people, that he would make him the father of nations. And through Joseph's leadership, those people that God created for himself, through Joseph's leadership, those people came into Egypt and they lived there. They had moved because of the famine. And they became slaves in Egypt. And it was because of Moses' leadership that they were led out of slavery, that they were led out of the nation of Egypt. And now when we come to Joshua chapter 1, we find Joshua picking up the baton and hearing the words of God speak to him about what God would have for him. And in Joshua chapter 1, what we see is God speaking to Joshua specifically about the future that God had for him. But God did not speak just about the future. God also spoke about the present. And God called Joshua to prepare for the future, but he also called him to pursue faithfulness. So how do we do that? How do we prepare for the future, looking ahead, thinking about the rest of our lives? How do we do that while also maintaining faithfulness and pursuing faithfulness in the here and the now? Look at verse 1 of Joshua. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. The first thing that we read when we pick up the book of Joshua is God speaking. And pursuing faithfulness means that we are those who listen to God's word. That's how we pursue faithfulness. We begin pursuing faithfulness by listening to God's word. The book of Joshua opens. God is speaking. And what is Joshua doing? Joshua is getting ready to be the leader of God's people. Joshua is getting ready to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. But what do we find him doing? Listening. Moses has died. Moses has moved off the scene. There is a lot that is going to be coming Joshua's way. There are strategies and initiatives that surely have to be formulated, but the book of Joshua does not begin with Joshua making plans. It begins with Joshua doing the first work of listening. He listens to God. The way that you and I are going to pursue faithfulness as we are preparing for the future is to listen to God's word. Faithfulness always begins with listening to God's word. When God approached Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God expected that Adam and Eve do what? Listen. We like to read in Exodus chapter 3 about the burning bush and God speaking from the burning bush to Moses. But when God spoke through the burning bush, what did he expect Moses to do? Let's try that again. That would be a question that requires an answer. When God spoke through the burning bush to Moses, what did he require Moses to do? Listen, it's all over the scripture. God's work and our faithfulness always begins with God speaking and our listening. The book of Leviticus and the book of Numbers. I doubt that anyone has recently spent much time devotionalizing in Leviticus and Numbers. But do you realize that the book of Leviticus and Numbers opens with Moses listening to God? That's where it all begins. This is what Moses told the people of God in Deuteronomy chapter 4. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, the Shema, hear, O Israel. It all starts with hearing the word that God has graciously revealed to his people. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Bible says that God caused the people to experience what they experienced so that they might realize that they do not live by bread alone, but they live by every what? Word that comes from the mouth of God. And this is the passage that Jesus would later in Matthew chapter 4, he would actually quote that scripture when he was being tempted in the wilderness. Jesus would say, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The psalmist says in Psalm 34 and verse 11, come, O children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34, blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. When you go through and you read the Old Testament prophets, they preached to the people and they said, judgment is coming. And the reason that you will hear again and again is that judgment is coming because the people would not listen to the word of God. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 17? Jesus took his three closest disciples, Peter and James and John. And they went up on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. And when they got there, there were two men that we read about in the Old Testament who had appeared there with them, Moses and Elijah. And the Bible says that the face of Christ began to shine brightly and that his clothes were so bright. And you know what Peter started doing? Peter started talking. Peter was like, man, can you believe this? This is awesome. This is cool. This is great. And Peter said, hey, I got an idea. Why don't we, Jesus, here Peter is giving the Lord of all creation advice. He says, why don't we build some tents up here so that you guys and Moses, and we can all just stay up here. You know what happens next? What happens next is the Bible says that a cloud descends. A cloud descends over them and there is a voice. You know who steps in? God steps in. And God says, this is my beloved Son, whom I love. You know what the next three words are? Listen to him. Listen to him. The way that we pursue faithfulness in the present is by listening to God. Paul would say that there is coming a day. He would say this a couple of thousand of years ago. He would say there is coming a day when people will turn away from listening to the truth and they will wander off into myths. They'll wander off. Alistair McGrath says there is a real danger that evangelicals will be so busy doing things for God that they will crowd him out by their very activity. Our desire to do things for God can easily get in the way of God's desire to do something for us. To be active in the world, we must be receptive towards God. And that means making space to listen to God, to read the Bible, and to come before him expecting to receive guidance, encouragement, and nourishment. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And one of the dangers of being in a place like this is that we can so often hear about the things of God, that we sometimes confuse that hearing about God with hearing from God. And with all of these things around us, with all of this hearing about God, it is sometimes easy to neglect the faithfulness of listening to God. So as we think about the future and as we think about the culture, how do we cultivate faithfulness in the present? First, by listening to God's word. Second, by acting on God's word. It's not just listening. Look at verse 2. Moses, God says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore." I want you to see these two active words. Arise, go over this Jordan. You see, the responsibility that we have as we pursue faithfulness is not to just hear the word of God. Yes, we listen, we hear God, but we also act on that word. Yes, Joshua listened to God, but God also called Joshua to do something. God called Joshua to get up and go do something. And read the rest of the book of Joshua. It's an evidence of God's work. It's an evidence that Joshua had listened to God and that he acted. His listening was essential to the process, but the evidence of God's work, which is seen in the rest of the book of Joshua, is that Joshua acted on what God said. James would later say, "Be doers of the word and not merely hearers, deceiving yourselves." You see, our eye is focused on the future, not in that we're going to wait until we get to the future to be obedient. Our eye is focused on the then and there, not that we are going to neglect the pursuit of faithfulness now, but we are pursuing faithfulness in the here and the now, realizing that God will use our here and now to prepare us as we move to the future. These university years are not a time to delay doing. We also pursue faithfulness by understanding that God's work is God's work. One of the best things that we can do as we think about pursuing faithfulness here and now is to realize that God's work is God's work. That it is He who works in you to will and to act according to His good pleasure. God is the one that is working. You realize that God does not call you to do something for Him. God calls you to be a part of what He is doing. There's a huge difference there. It's not that you and I, because of gifts or abilities or talents, it's not that we do something for God. It's that God allows us the grace of doing something with Him, participating. Look at Joshua chapter 1 again. There's this interplay in Joshua 1 between the work that God is doing and the work that Joshua is being called to do. It goes back and forth. Look at verse 3. God says, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you." Notice the personal pronouns. "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall lead this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, one of the ways that we pursue faithfulness in the present is to realize that God's work is God's work. God's work is something that He does, and He allows us to be a part of it. So when you read throughout the rest of the book of Joshua, is it a story of what Joshua is doing, or is it a story of what God is doing? The answer is yes. It is. It's the story of what God is doing, and He has called Joshua to be a part of what He is doing. Pursuing faithfulness in the present also requires being Godwardly courageous. Being Godwardly courageous. It's a different kind of courage than we think about in other places. It is Godward courageous. Courage in the Scriptures is a matter of faithfulness. And the courage that we are to show is a courage that is rooted in two realities, the Word of God and the presence of God. Look at verse 6. God says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Joshua, you can be courageous in what I'm calling you to do because I'm calling you to do something that I've already done. Joshua's courage was rooted in the Word of God. God had spoken to him. God had said to him, here is what I have promised to do. I will do this. Joshua, you are not going to fail. Joshua, you are not going to mess up. You are going to be a part of what I am doing. And then verse 9. Not only is our courage as God's people rooted in God's word, it's rooted in God's presence. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Why should Joshua be strong and courageous? Because the Lord is going to be with him wherever he goes. And as you think about the future, as you think about what God has for you, you can be strong and you can be courageous because the future that God has for you, God has for you. And as God has called you, He expects that our courage be rooted in Him. Our courage is characterized, as we think about the future, in civility and humility. Our courage is respectful. Our courage is kind. We do not allow courage to slip over into arrogance or haughtiness. But our courage is not in who we are. Our courage is not in our ability. Our courage is not in our strength or our talents. Our courage is in who God is and who He has called us to be. We also pursue faithfulness by being carefully obedient. Being carefully obedient. Verse 7, God says, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. See, the way that we pursue faithfulness in the here and now is by being carefully obedient. We realize that life is not a simplistic matter of deciding between what is right and what is wrong. It's more than that. As we seek to grow in Christ, as we seek to continue to live in Christ, we make decisions in our lives about what is best. And again, one of the temptations in being in a place like this is that we can grow somewhat flippant in our obedience. Well, I go to a Christian college. I go to a great Christian college. There's chapel twice a week. There are all kinds of things going on. Yeah, I'm being obedient. But do you realize that God calls us to careful obedience? There's this story in Leviticus chapter 10. I doubt that you've read it recently. But it's about two young men named Nadab and Abihu. If you know anybody who's looking for names to maybe name their children, Nadab and Abihu, that would be a consideration. You know who Nadab and Abihu were? Nadab and Abihu were the sons of Aaron. And in Leviticus chapter 10, it says that they offered sacrifice to the Lord. It was this sacrificial service. And the writer of Leviticus tells us that Nadab and Abihu, when they offered fire to the Lord, see, the priests would often take fire and they would put it on censers. It would be like a pan on the end of a broom handle. They would build this little fire and then they would offer it to the Lord in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says that Nadab and Abihu offered, the King James calls this, strange fire. I'm no fire expert, but it was strange fire. The NIV calls it unauthorized fire. It wasn't authorized. Now, we don't know the particulars of what all that means. But Nadab and Abihu were not careful. There was something wrong with the offering that they offered. There was something wrong with the sacrifice. And because Nadab and Abihu were careless in their offering, you know what happened? Fire came out from the presence of the Lord, and they died. Sons of Aaron. The responsibility that we have as we pursue faithfulness in the present is to be carefully obedient. But lastly, to be faithful in the present, regardless of what your major is, regardless of the track that you are on, faithfulness involves being absorbed in the Word. We've come full circle. It starts with listening to God, but faithfulness to God involves being absorbed in the Word. Joshua, no doubt, was a busy person, especially in light of what God had called him to do. He had battles, he had personnel that he had to think about, he had strategies, he had armies on his mind. But in the middle of all that, God told Joshua, this book of the law, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. The foundation of Joshua's success was the Word of God. And God called Joshua to have the Word of God on his mouth and to meditate on it. Now, sometimes when we hear the word meditation, we think, what's happening? A lot of times when we think about meditation, we kind of picture someone doing some kind of yoga and they are contorting their, bodies. But you realize that meditation is not about us freeing our minds. Meditation is about us filling our minds. And what we fill our minds with is the Word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So as God's people, we meditate. And what we meditate is on the Word of God. Now there is something that my wife and I enjoy doing regularly, and that is drinking tea. And sometimes I like to surprise my wife, and it's a surprise because I don't do it that often. But I get up early in the mornings before anybody else stirs. And about the time that she is getting up, I go, sometimes, I try to do this. It's good when I do. And I'll get the water, and I'll boil the water. And then I'll take the tea, and I'll take it out of the package. And when the water is ready, when the water is boiling, here's what I don't do. I don't pour the water in and then go, whoop, and then take the tea to her in bed. Because you know what she would do? She would take that and throw it on me. I'm just kidding. But I take the tea bag and carefully put it on the inside of the cup. And then I take the boiling water and I pour it over the tea bag. And then you know what I do? I walk away. And I let the tea bag stay in the water. It steeps. And I walk away. And what's happening as I walk away for a few minutes is that water is taking on what's in the tea bag. When it comes to thinking about the future that is ahead of us, when it comes to thinking about your personal future, when it comes to thinking about the future that is ahead for us as a society, it is going to be more and more challenging to be faithful to God. But the opportunity has never been greater to model faithfulness so that as we absorb ourselves in the Word of God, we go out. And the life that we live is a distinctive life from the culture around us. The future is coming. And the people that God is going to use in the future are those who are faithful to Him, who live life pursuing faithfulness and preparing for the future. The people that God is going to use are those that are faithful and prepared. Let's pray together. Father, we realize this morning that we are not those who are conformed by our surroundings, but we are those who are transformed by your word. And we pray that indeed we might be faithful to you in the here and the now, and that you would indeed prepare us for the future, so that indeed people might see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Lord, I pray your blessings on these students and these families who are here. May we go in peace. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.